Inside Chicago Government. ShyGov.com.
Welcome to another in a series of interviews with Ben Jarofsky. I'm Dave Gloatz. Ben writes on government and politics for the Chicago Reader, and he's here with me today. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you, Senator.
Today we're talking about your article that appeared in the Reader on July 29th, 2015, titled "Madigan Ally Tells the City Council That Chicago Needs to Get Its Financial House in Order."
I remember this article. Mm-hmm.
You wrote it.
But that doesn't mean I'll remember it, Dave.
We're all getting older.
Yes.
Well, let me remind you that you wrote of an appearance in early July before the Chicago City Council's Education Committee.
Yes.
By 25th District State Representative Barbara Flynn Curry.
From Hyde Park.
She represents not only Hyde Park, but the South Shore area. But you believe that in this particular committee appearance, she was representing the interests of Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. Is that a fair description?
She's the House Majority Leader, so she's the number two in command, I guess, in the House of Representatives in the State House. And she's a very close ally to the Speaker himself. So I believe she was sending a message from Michael.
Channeling.
I know you don't know what that reference is because you're not a huge fan of Burt Bacharach and Hal David.
I know that Bacharach wrote the music and David wrote the lyrics. Isn't that true?
That is true. And there was a song called Message. Anyway, sorry.
According to your article, Representative Curry basically gave aldermen a list of complaints about how the city has handled its public school finances. Specifically, Curry complained that, number one, the city did not follow through on its commitment to shore up teacher pension payments after the legislature let it take a break from payments. Number two, the city has abused its tax increment financing authority, which you have said costs Chicago Public Schools hundreds of millions of dollars each year. And number three, the Board of Education entered into unnecessarily risky borrowing deals that did not pursue paybacks from lenders, paybacks that other cities have won. Is that an accurate summary?
Yes. I called her up after I read about her testimony, and she wanted to make it clear that she was expressing the views of many of the Democrats in the State House when they had had a briefing. There was a briefing that the Chicago Public School money managers, the bureaucrats who were in charge of the budget, had for the state reps. The purpose of the briefing from the point of view of CPS was to rally the state reps around the notion of sending more money to the Chicago Public Schools. And the response in this closed briefing from state reps was, "Are you kidding me? You already have money that you're not adequately managing. You should take care of your own situation before you come to us."
This is the response of the reps in the meeting with the CPS representatives.
That is correct. So what Barbara Flynn Curry was doing at that hearing in July was representing the opinions of the state reps that she overheard. I also believe she was sending a message from Michael Madigan, the speaker, and he did not want to be used, as Springfield is often used in this political game, as sort of the punching bag for Chicago, blaming everything on Springfield, knowing full well, Chicago leaders, that Springfield's generally giving them what they want and looking the other way at their abuses.
Was this meeting that the CPS financial people had with the legislators, was it just Democratic legislators?
Yes, this is just Democrats. So she was not pretending to be speaking for the Republicans.
And did they have a separate meeting with the Republicans, do you know?
You know, I asked her that and she said she didn't know, and I don't know either.
It would seem logical to do that, right? If you're trying to push an agenda.
Yeah, it would seem logical, but you know, you're talking about logic. So I don't know. I don't even know if it's necessary because let's face it, these days, the Republicans in the State House are just rubber stamps of the governor. So they're sort of like the Springfield equivalent of a Chicago alderman in relation to the mayor.
So the CPS folks might have thought, why should we waste our time?
Yeah. But for all I know, they met with them. It's irrelevant anyway, I think.
A legislative tangent here. Is this typical for the city pushing its agenda to have sort of these caucus meetings?
Yeah, it's not unheard of. I mean, there's all kinds of things that happen in Springfield. I don't spend enough time studying Springfield to try to understand, you know, the hidden meanings of it. Sometimes I talk to people who are far more knowledgeable to decipher what it all means. In this case, Mayor Emanuel has made it clear that he's expecting assistance from Springfield, specifically on money to help with the obligations to the teachers' pension fund. And Springfield is telling Mayor Emanuel, we're not going to just give you the money and look the other way while you abuse it. As we've done in the past, we're going to demand that you clean up your own house because we don't have the money to send you right now, and we don't have the votes to send you that money. And by the way, we're really sick and tired of you pounding the hell out of us all the time. So I liked what she said because it was an articulation of things that people like you and I have been saying forever. And I just found it refreshing and kind of funny that a mainstream politician like Representative Curie, who's really a mainstream politician. Again, she's one of Madigan's chief allies. Some would say she's like the brains of the operation down there in terms of the budget, would be articulating ideas that you would usually hear in an interview between Dave Gloatz and Ben Jarofsky.
Or that you hear espoused by the Chicago Teachers Union. That's what struck me about
yes,
it.
Yes, I'm sure it struck the members of the Chicago Teachers Union who were sitting in the audience as sort of humorous.
To say the least.
To say the least. What she was saying is the kind of sentiments that you might hear from Alderman Scott Wagasback or Alderman John Arena, the Progressive Caucus from the city council.
One of the ways to look at this to me, which was a sort of an interesting perspective, is that we can infer that the state's most powerful Democrat, Speaker Michael Madigan, essentially agrees with the people who've been talking about, those who oppose the education policies of another powerful Democrat in the state, namely Mayor Emanuel.
Well, I don't know if I would go so far to say he agrees with something that people like you or I would say or advocate.
Talking about Madigan.
Yes, Speaker Madigan. It's a mystery what he actually agrees to or believes, but as a tool or an instrument in this larger political game that he finds himself in, he's feeling it necessary to express the point of view of people like you and me.
Whether that's a strategy or whether he actually believes it is another question.
Exactly. It's a short-term strategy to get him through this current situation, or he's seen the light and now is regularly listening to our podcasts and reading my columns and changing his beliefs accordingly. I don't know. I would bet on the former.
Speaker Madigan, we welcome your cautions and comments.
Yeah, but I just got a big kick out of it when I read them. Oh my God, this sounds like something I would write without the jokes.
So let's go to a little bit of history. You wrote that toward the end of his tenure, Mayor Richard M. Daley got the state legislature to grant Chicago Public Schools a 3-year holiday
yes.
from teacher pension payments.
Right.
Could you clarify the history of these pension holidays? Because back in 1995, Daley also got the legislature to let the city stop making automatic payments to the teacher's pension fund. How
yes.
long did that hiatus last?
First of all, it's that hiatus that you are alluding to, the direct payment to the pension fund coming from property tax bills, that still is going on. We don't have a direct payment. If you take a look at your property tax bill, you will not see a payment to the teacher's pension fund.
As opposed to prior to 95, when there was
right.
sort of like direct deposit.
It was a direct deposit. It's exactly what it was. It's the equivalent of directly depositing the money in a TIF bank account. So we substituted directly depositing the money in the teacher's pension fund for directly depositing the money in a TIF bank account, while pretending that we're not depositing the money at all in any of these things.
So that's still in effect.
Yes, that's still in effect.
What is this most recent 3-year hiatus referred to?
That refers to back in 2010, where the city had obligations to the teacher's pension fund that it was mandated to make. And in order to give itself some breathing room, this is the argument Ron Huberman made and Mayor Richard M. Daley made, they asked that they be released from those obligations for, I believe it was 3 years, can't remember exactly. And then that would give them time to study the books and figure out a solution where they can come up with the money to balance their budget and then make the payments. In reality, it was what we always talk about, punting, where you just put off a decision for another day. This is what I would say, this is the Daley losing his mind phase of the administration, where he had been pushing for the Olympics. That was going to be the savior of Chicago from his point of view. And that had just blown up in his face. You know, if you recall, it denied us that. He had sold off the parking meters, and that wasn't stopping the deficit. The recession was continuing, so he wasn't getting the property tax yield that he wanted. He didn't know what to do.
Quit.
He did two things. One, he got this pension holiday, and two, he quit and dumped it on Rahm. That's the history of that. And so when that pension holiday expired, and this is where we are now, we have to make these obligations, the city under the new mayor is going back to Springfield and saying, help us out. And Springfield saying, we helped you out 4 years ago and you didn't do anything and it's gotten worse. That's what she was saying.
Just to clarify the pension obligations. So when the legislature eliminated the direct deposit in 95,
yes,
the city was still under statutory obligation to make contributions to the teachers' pension fund.
That is correct.
As a substitute for that direct deposit?
Yes. Essentially, what getting rid of the direct deposit did was give Mayor Daley more control, which is what he doesn't need, more control over more amounts of money. So over the years, instead of putting the money into the pension fund as he's supposed to, he began using it for other things, whatever.
At what point did the legislature step in, or did they step in and say, Chicago, you must start making contributions again?
It wasn't so much that the legislator ordered Chicago to make the contributions, is that Chicago asked the legislator for a special permission not to make the obligations it had to make.
To make sure to cover it.
Yes.
Cover its butt.
Right. Governor Quinn was the governor at the time. He signed off on this. As I've said to you many times, Mayor Daley and his appointees like Paul Vallis and Gary Chico were heralded as fiduciary wizards and heroes for having finally tamed Chicago Public Schools' budget.
Because they weren't making pension payments.
Yeah, because they weren't. Yeah, they were getting to spend the pension money. And now, of course, the same people who are hailing them as heroes are turning around and saying, we failed. Of course, they never named Daley, God forbid, you know what I mean? These are the bad old days. When they were happening, they were the good days. So it's a very bizarre worldview we have here in Chicago in general about powerful mayors. What Barbara Flynn Curry was saying was that we are not just going to look the other way at the moment. Okay, they may start looking the other way next year, but at the moment, they're not willing to look the other way.
Another one of her criticisms was around school finance, which we were just talking about. You wrote that she gently chided the city's school system, quote, for the various balloon borrowing deals it's signed with lenders,
yes,
that have jacked up the cost of debt by hundreds of millions of dollars, unquote.
Yes.
While the Chicago Board of Education seems to have ended that particular kind of borrowing, lately it seems to have gone on a borrowing binge.
Yeah.
In mid-July, the Board of Education authorized $1.2 billion in borrowing in terms of bonds. And that came just weeks after the Board of Education authorized a $1 billion line of credit for short-term borrowing. And earlier this year, the Board of Education issued about $500 million in bonds. What's going on here?
They don't have the money they need right now to pay these obligations to the pension funds and run their school system. They've probably been far more in debt over the last few years than they would ever own up. So that every year when they claim the budget's balanced, it's really not balanced, you know. So it's just coming home. They're borrowing money to pay their bills.
Like crazy.
Yeah, like crazy, right. Because this is a big payment they have to make to the teachers' pension fund. I don't know if we discussed the story I wrote where they, what a crazy scheme. They made the payment to the teachers' pension fund, a huge $600+ million payment, and then they turn right around and ask the pension fund to lend them
money.
The money back, yeah. $500 million of it. And that's how they were going to get through the crisis. That deal fell through over issues of collateral. And, you know, the teachers' pension fund was asking that the city put up
some schools as collateral.
Yeah. So it fell apart. So they're scrambling for money. And the reality is that some kind of taxes are going to have to be instituted. So we talked about this the last time, the financial trade tax. Well, they don't want to do that because they don't want to offend Mayor Rahm's
pals.
They could cut into the TIFs, but they don't want to do that beyond a little bit because he doesn't want to give up his slush. You could legalize marijuana, but you don't want to do that because I'm not quite sure why you don't want to do that. Maybe because it wasn't his idea originally, or I have no idea why the city is so obstinate on that point. It makes no sense. Particularly now, I'm on a tangent here, that we think we're welcoming Lollapalooza to Chicago.
Imagine how much money it could make on marijuana sales.
I know.
And the Dead concert.
The Dead concert, which is one of my favorite little asides, if you will. They celebrated the Dead coming to Chicago. They promote, oh my God, we yielded $400,000 extra in the hotel tax. Lord knows where they came up with these statistics, but that's what they say. So all the articles pounding our chest about what a great thing it was about getting the $400,000, talked about not only did the Dead fans bring the smell of marijuana to Chicago, but they dropped $400,000. And so it's like this joke, ha, 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 that they're smoking reefer. Why can't we legalize it? We are a really strange city. So all the most logical solutions to these problems are being dismissed. So they're trying to figure out how much more of the property tax they can raise without causing an insurrection and other fines and fees. And it's really a strange way to run local government.
The borrowing just boggles my mind. In fact, the last city council meeting in July, the mayor announced the city of Chicago is doing yet another $500 million bond deal.
Yeah, well, I just did a story yesterday on the Reader website about a libertarian friend of mine named Bergman, who has been following the city's comprehensive financial reports, which are obscure but interesting financial statements that the city is required to prepare once a year. And they finally released it. They were a little late, but he was just telling me that over the last 2 years, this city has made about $1 billion in interest payments. So that's just astounding.
And they just keep adding.
Yes, they keep adding to it. So rather than find a solution to our financial needs with a flourishing tax that won't be too painful.
Or regressive.
They just continue to borrow money and come up with regressive taxes. And this is the mayor that the citizenry of Chicago, may I remind you this, just overwhelmingly reelected because he had a plan as opposed to his opponent, Jesus Garcia, who, according to the electorate and the media, did not have a plan. So this is where we are, Dave.
Well, the mayor has continued to ask for ideas. He said his door is open for ideas for new revenue, and I've got an idea.
Yeah.
So the city is doing all these expensive bond deals, you know, because their bond ratings are in the toilet. They are forced to pay investors who buy these bonds very high interest rates, sometimes as much as 8%, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
So my idea is you take one of these NGOs that the city has chartered, like World Business Chicago or the Infrastructure Trust, have them buy the bonds and then turn around and pay the interest back to the city.
Wow.
So the city is actually paying the interest to itself.
That is a great idea.
I'm going to contact my alderman, Scott Wagensbeck, and say, propose this one to the mayor.
Why don't you just, as much as I love Scott, bypass Scott. If the mayor's door truly is open, just go and knock on his door.
I have his Twitter handle, so tweet him.
Mayor Rahm, have I got a solution for
it
you?
Seems the genius to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's all we've got time for. Ben, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you, Senator.
Listeners, you could find all of our past interviews on your web at chigov.com. You can also subscribe to automatic downloads. Look for the box that says Follow Chi Gov. I'm Dave Glowatz. Thanks for listening.